Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Howdy.
Feeling better today, my friend?
I'm getting there.
That's one step in the right direction. That's all we can ask for.
That's right.
We've got stories to share, Tim. Stories to amaze, astound, and agitate. Oh, Tim, another monkey story in the news this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, get to that a little later. I'm telling you, the Planet of the Apes uprising is swiftly taking its lead over AI and the zombie apocalypse. I'm just saying, they're getting smarter, Tim.
No.
They're getting smarter.
I still think they climb inside the robots, and that's how we get Skynet.
Could be. Good morning, Dave and Tim. That's how this email starts out.
Morning.
I have a story I'd like to share with the two of you. Well, it's good because you addressed both of us, and I'm reading it out loud. And if you shared it with just one of us, it'd make it really awkward for the other guy. But, A little background info. I am a paranormal investigator and have been since 2005. I've been to almost every place that one can have a paranormal experience that is open to the public here in the United States. I've even traveled to Sarnia, Ontario, Canada for a week-long paranormal adventure. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Sarnia.
Isn't that, didn't they have a book about that? There's Chronicles and...
No, that's Narnia.
Okay.
But I spent a week in Sarnia one day.
Did you?
I went to Sarnia for a paranormal conference, and I was excited. I get to go to Canada.
Yeah.
And I landed in Detroit, which was weird to me. If I'm going to fly into Canada, why would I go to Detroit? But I fly into Detroit. Mm-hmm. I take a cab, and it's half an hour from the airport into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even. I might even say a little shorter, except for that you're in line at the, passport place, the customs.
Mm-hmm.
We get over, and literally the other side of the bridge is my hotel. So I made it 23 feet into Sarnia.
Hmm.
Yeah. Didn't get much further than that, but I digressed him. This listener has been to Sarnia and has apparently been able to travel and see much more of it than I did. Tim.
Wow.
Yeah. So good on him.
Nifty.
Good for her. Good on her. Or him. It's hard to say nowadays. I don't want to piss anybody off. Sure. When I was younger, I had a team and we traveled trying to help those having paranormal experiences in their homes and businesses. Now I'm older and I cannot do what I used to do, as in staying up all night. Once a year, my husband, my uncle, and I plan a 1 to 2 week paranormal adventure for our vacation. We had a plan to visit South Texas, South Padre Island, and the surrounding area. There have been a lot of stories in that area about paranormal experiences, so that was to be our week-long adventure. I'll get all the words out eventually, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 2017, and our adventure was cut short by Hurricane Harvey. So we were unable to do much. However, on the way to South Padre Island, our drive from Austin takes us through Goliad, Texas. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Little Goliad, Texas, but this is where the Mission Presidio La Bahia is located, Tim.
No.
Yeah, me neither. It was at this mission that Colonel Sanders created his chicken, Tim.
Oh, it's hallowed ground.
No, it's not it at all. Remember, he's Kentucky Fried. This is Texas.
That's where Kenny Rogers invented his chicken.
No, I think that was Memphis. But anyway, it says it was at the mission that Colonel Fannin and his troops were massacred by the Spanish army. It's been a long hotspot for paranormal activity, and it's open to the public. I booked the mission for one night so that we could spend the night there, investigate the mission, and start our own vacation with a bang. A couple of nights later, I think I was asleep, but I could see a figure walk out of my grandson's bedroom. It stood just outside of my grandson's bedroom and stared at me as I lay in bed. I may have been dreaming, but I felt awake and conscious. This was the middle of the night, so it is unusual for me to wake at this hour, thus my confusion of being awake or asleep. The figure did nothing but just stare. It was tall and in a hooded robe like a monk. About a week later, the same figure once again came out of my grandson's room and looked straight at me. It seemed very real, but when I woke in the morning, I could not tell if this was a dream or reality. For a short time, this figure would walk out of my grandson's room and just stand and continue to watch me. I could feel in my gut that this thing was coming from the mission. Over time, he began appearing every night. As the time went on, he began walking from my grandson's bedroom, slowly making his way to my bedroom. And all I could do was watch. It got to where he walked in and stood beside my bed, looking down at me. I could not see a face. All I could see was the robe, clearly, but no facial features. I did not get the feeling of sleep paralysis. I was just watching to see what would happen next. I did get the feeling of dread and doom from him. When he started standing beside my bed, he started speaking to me. I could not understand what he was saying. It was a different language or just garble, but I was scared out of my mind. I told my husband what was going on after it happened a couple of times and told him that it was bothersome to me. Really? A large, shadowy, grim reaper-featured character comes into your room, stands next to your bed, and whispers in a long, dead, ancient language? AVS Media Demo.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Is my baby save it? And you're bothered by that. Interesting. I told my husband what was going on after it happened a couple times. I told him it was bothering me. When the figure started standing beside my bed and speaking, I felt it in my gut. It was a warning of bad juju. And I knew in my heart it was coming from the mission. I spoke to my husband and uncle and explained to them that this thing was now standing beside my bed almost every night. And I felt that we should not spend any time at Presidio La Bahia. As a matter of fact, I did not even want to stop and tour the place in the daylight hours. They were very understanding and agreed that we would remove this stop from our trip. I called and canceled our reservation, and I have not seen the hooded figure since. The day we were driving through Goliad, as we passed the mission, I got goosebumps up and down my entire body. I didn't even try to turn my head to look at the place. It's a shame, too, because this is a place that I've always wanted to go. South Padre Island is a place that my family loves to go to. And even today, as we drive through Goliad, I keep my head facing forward and never look in the direction of the mission. Dave, I know you're a stickler for grammar and spell check. I've done both. Love you guys. And that's from Lisa Hillestead in Texas. Sure, I've been butchering Goliad, Goliad, Texas. Goliad. I don't know.
Sure.
Interesting story, though. Here's my question. If you're a paranormal investigator, and I'm not saying you're not, Lisa, but if you're a paranormal investigator and this thing is coming closer to you, closer to you, closer to you, why did you not set up a camera?
Mm-hmm.
And B, why not run an audio recorder at night that is voice activated so that maybe you could capture the whispery, shadowy figure's voice and get it translated?
No.
AVS Media Demo.
Right.
Use my PB, save it. Just saying. If you saved it that way, then maybe we could figure out what was really going on. And I wonder if it was speaking Espanol, Tim.
That could be too. Especially in that area of the country, you could get more than one language.
Unless, of course, Lisa knows Spanish and knows that was not the language. It was, you know, could have been some long dead ancient language, Tim. AVS Media Demo.
Could have been. One that had been tried to be translated by a linguist with over 40 languages in their repertoire.
Yeah.
Heard apparently that story before. English. Yeah. English not being one of them. Yeah.
So, Tim, there's a disturbing app that I've just put on my phone because I've been told not to. A disturbing app that takes you to strange places in the world.
Oh, what's that?
The game has quickly gone viral due to the strange events that have been captured by internet users around the world. It's a strange and disturbing application, and it's quickly gone viral in the past few days after it leads its users to experience bizarre situations raw in unusual places. The application is called Randonautica. Tim, Randonautica, R-A-N-D-O-N-A-U-T-I-C-A, derived from the union of two English words, random and nauta, navigator or explorer. So random explorer, basically, which combined with the word randonauts, which means random explorer. This game is emerged this year, and it consists in that you have to do an urban exploration and visit mysterious abandoned places or even cemeteries. The application is available at Play Store, App Store, and even a beta computer version, Tim.
Hmm.
So welcome to Randonautica. To enter the game, you must download it to your cell phone. Upon entering, you will be asked to answer some questions. But the most important thing is to allow you to give your current location, Tim. Subsequently, you'll be asked to choose between four options: anomalies, attractors, voids, or paranormal situations. All of them will leave you with more doubts than answers about what is coming. When you're done the game, it will warn you that your mood will influence the disturbing location decision that will be placed on the map. This is a poorly written article, by the way. I'm doing my best to try to clean it up a little, Tim.
Okay.
Yep. Notably, Randonautica also has a webpage. When you enter, a strange message appears: choose your own adventure, explore the world you did not know existed. That's exciting to me. I'm all about that, Tim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As long as I can do it comfortably with air conditioning close by, water, and a massage place nearby. Yeah.
Maybe some nice food, something appetizer-wise, not a whole meal, because you don't want to get logy while you're playing this. Yeah.
What happens in Randonautica? Well, I'll tell you, Tim. As previously mentioned, the application is that users can visit a random location where unusual, strange, or even funny events occurred. However, one fact that is also greatly disturbed is that Randonautica uses an owl as part of its logo, because many explorers claim that they encountered at least one owl on their way to each location. But that's not the strangest thing. Next, we'll tell you about some of the experiences that have been collected thanks to this application, Tim. So this is a supernatural news story and a parashare.
I see.
Conveniently mixed into one poorly written document.
Uh-huh. I think I know where you're going with that owl, but continue.
Chilling find. A user identified as Henry shared through his TikTok account.
Right.
That's a TikTok account.
Correct.
Because I'm old. I make these mistakes, Tim. I'm not hip. A user identified as Henry shared through his TikTok account what he and his group of friends experienced thanks to the application. They decided to go to a beach where the game had shown secret location. Upon arriving at the site, they found a mysterious briefcase. In that briefcase, Tim?
Yes.
Human remains.
What?
A situation that was actually confirmed hours later by the authorities. How about demonic possession or schizophrenia? Sign us up.
Well, I don't want to be possessed.
Well, you could just be schizophrenic then and think I'm possessed.
All right.
Boom. Another explorer identified as Taylor asked the application to grant him a location in the paranormal category. Upon arriving at the location, he was met by a strange-looking woman who simply stared at him and his friends as he babbled words in a strange dialect. The home of the cats. The young woman decided to go to the place that Randonautica provided, but in this case, he found nothing strange to him. Upon arrival, the girl observed a large number of cats that were homeless and began to feed them. The curious thing was that the explorer claimed that her deceased father had given her a cat that she also found on the street. So far, the application continues to add millions of downloads per minute, and we'll surely give a lot to talk about in the following days.
Hmm.
And with that said, here's an article that follows up on that statement, Tim.
Okay.
A Yorkshire ghost hunter's warning after dangerous Randonautica game led him to a creepy discovery in the deserted woods. A Yorkshire ghost hunter has warned people not to play a dangerous game. Can you hear everybody pausing this right now and downloading Randonautica because they've been warned twice not to, Tim?
Yes, I can.
Huh? Should we just give people a few more seconds to finish loading it?
Sure. Yeah, we can.
All right, everybody back? May I continue?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm. It's a little popcorn for you, Tim.
That was nice, yeah.
Muzak whistle style popcorn. A Yorkshire ghost hunter has warned people not to play a dangerous game after he was led to a sinister spot in the woods where people had allegedly been murdered.
Very nice.
That sounded like lightning or thunder or a gunshot or me trying to clear my throat.
Somebody rattling a metal shack.
Cole James, who runs Paranormal Uncovered, shared two live streams with his followers on Facebook as he took part in Randonautica, an app that generates random coordinates near your current location for you to explore. Although it may sound harmless, Cole, who is from Doncaster and in his late teens, had one disgusting and another more creepy experience when he tried out the app, an activity known as randonauting in a rural area near his hometown. Cole said, "I got told about it from one of my friends who is in the same industry as me." He's a teenager. What industry is there? Loafing and wow. Playing video games?
Exactly. Eating Cheetos.
I guess you and I have been part of that industry for many, many years, Tim.
I'm a veteran, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about retiring, as a matter of fact. I've put in so many years. I got told about it from one of my friends who was in the same industry as me and said he'd found the game where it gives you a location that is out of the ordinary. I thought, okay, we'll give it a try on our next live stream. Online research cropped up some disturbing encounters others had with the app, but Cole was determined to find out for himself where the coordinates would take him. His first adventure saw him wade through cornfields before making a pretty gruesome discovery. We did our first Randonaut scan, and it gave us a location. It took us through a cornfield and then to some steps, which we thought was really odd. Once we passed these mysterious steps, we were in the middle of a long and wide cornfield. We were getting so close to our destination and then arrived to where the random app took us. What was there confused me and my team members. There was a human poo. Around 25 tissues around it, in the middle of a cornfield, surrounded by zero houses and zero roads. Feeling slightly underwhelmed and a little weirded out, Cole and his team decided to try a second location nearby. This time, they were taken down a long path, which led into some sheltered woods. Cole says he and his team heard screaming near the location on the app before the noises suddenly stopped. Then, beneath their feet, a single black glove. That's all, Tim. There was just one glove all on its own, Cole said.
Huh.
We thought, okay, that's creepy. Well, then they wouldn't want to drive around the streets of Minnesota in the winter.
No.
Or the early spring, because that's all you see is a hat, maybe one glove.
Sometimes.
Down the road a little bit further, a boot.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes a boot.
We then arrived at our second destination, and it led us to the railway in the woods. There were dangerous ditches. Dangerous ditches, Tim.
And then you burn through the witches, and it's a Rob Zombie lyric.
We were confused. Because we are also ghost hunters, we decided to place one of our devices on. The device we put on is called a Paratech, and this piece of equipment is, in other words, a random word generator. It allows a spirit to manipulate and choose the words that are relevant to your questions. As soon as I placed the device on, two words came out. Those two words were game and lunatic, which were really relevant as we were playing the Randonautica game. I'm sorry, Randonautica game. The Randonautica game is the cheap knockoff you and I will be trying to build.
Well, she'll be virtual and she'll be kind of hot. Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, it just takes you to all the places Ronald McDonald has been seeing. Randonautica.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's yeah. He can be creepy, though, and chilling. And at the each location, you may find mystery meat, Tim.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Huh.
Worms crawl in, worms crawl out of nuggets, I've been told. After feeling creeped out and scared for our lives, after venturing 30 minutes into the woods, Cole and his team ran back to the car and began to research the area. This led to a horrific discovery. To our surprise, the area we were taken to had been the place of numerous murders, including stabbings and shootings. And there had even been suicides. Cole admits that although their first adventure bordered on funny due to the weirdness of the discovery of poo, the second one left them feeling spooked out. He's now warning people, do not download the app and play this game. Don't do it. Now, because I talked about the fact that they found a murder site and one rubber gloved him, people have that were holding out the first time are now definitely downloading Randonautica.
Oh, yeah, they're going nuts.
The second one was quite scary. I've been doing ghost hunts for 2 years, and that was scary what we witnessed. A whole single rubber glove on the ground. Terrifying, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We want to tell people about our experience of the game and how dangerous it could be. You could encounter poo or a discarded rubber glove anywhere, Tim. You don't know where, when, or how.
This sounds like a really bad visit to the proctologist, but go ahead.
It does. Yeah, exactly. Previous players, again, have reported being led to dark woods to then be chased by killer clowns, and there have also been reports of players finding dead bodies and reports of people finding weapons in suitcases washed up on local beaches. Crazy. How many people are going to get shot because somebody's carrying a sidearm, walks into the woods following Randonautica, and some jackass dressed as a killer clown jumps out to scare them and takes one right between the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before the seltzer bottle of doom is sprayed on you.
Seltzer bottle of doom. That was the failed Indiana Jones movie, I think, that they're writing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Indiana Jones and the seltzer bottle of doom.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder if Indy got away from that one. You know,
well, just when you think things can't get weirder, Tim. A dad is defending the name that he chose for his son, saying it's something that people are going to remember.
Oh, good.
A man has called his son Lucifer.
No.
He appeared on the TV show this morning to defend the unusual name choice, hoping to explain to others what it actually means to him. The name Lucifer holds negative connotations in Christianity, as it's one of the labels given to the devil, Tim, the devil.
Yes, the devil.
However, Dan and Mandy Sheldon had been looking for inspiration elsewhere when they decided to name their son Lucifer, having turned to its original Latin meaning. Dan appeared via video link from Matlock in Derbyshire to chat with This Morning presenters Rochelle and Orr, holding up his four-month-old to the camera to explain why they went for such a controversial name. It actually means light bringer, the bearer of light, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
So we like the name. It's one you remember. It's not very popular, so we chose that for our son. Huh. I don't know.
Sure, controversial, yeah.
Right.
But it's true. That's what the original meaning of the name is.
Okay, but here's something, right? There's mm-hmm. many people out there, Tim, who really identify with Native American culture or identify with animal spirits. And
right.
If I said animal spirits to you, which is one of the first that comes to mind?
Animal spirits?
Yeah.
I would think of a bird.
Okay, a bird. What else? What else might be good?
A bird, a wolf.
What? What was that?
A wolf.
A noble, majestic wolf? Would you say that, Tim?
Sure.
Well, then let's just name our adopted baby that you and I are going to get, Tim. Let's name him Adolf. because it's a controversial name, but Tim, its original meaning is noble, majestic wolf. So why should we let Hitler ruin the name and the mustache, Tim? That's kind of the thinking this father's come up with for me. I don't know. Yeah, see? You don't want to... So, you're, A, you don't want to have a child with me, and B, you don't want to name it Adolf?
Well, wasn't it Michael Jackson that sang, or was it Donny Osmond? I don't remember which one. Something about one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl?
That was the Osmond family.
Okay.
Yes, the Osmonds, sure. Which often were mistaken for the Jackson 5. It's It's crazy how much those two sounded alike. Seriously, I kid you not.
Yeah.
When you listen to One Bad Apple and ABC.
Yeah, they're almost the same song.
Yeah, and they're almost the same voices. I mean, Donnie really pulled off an amazing vocalization on that, but sounded like a young Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Lucifer really means light bringer. The bearer of light, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I happen to like noble wolves, but I'm not going to name my kid Adolf, nor am I going to allow him to wear a little brushy mustache.
That's probably a good thing.
Or an armband, red, white, with black markings on it. Just not going to happen. Why? Because I'm a dad who cares about his kid.
But think about this.
Uh-huh.
Little Lucy, let's call him by a nickname, strolls onto the old playground, and... what are the chances that someone's going to go toe-to-toe with old Lucifer?
Oh, it's going to happen because his name is Lucifer. People are going to beat the living snot out of him.
Or would they?
Oh, listen to this next line in the article, Tim.
Okay.
Dan also said people have accused him and Mandy, his wife, of giving their baby a name that's as contentious as the Nazi leader Adolf Hitler. See, I was on to something, or I'm on something. After deciding on the name, the parents were met with some backlash from a registrar who strongly advised against calling their son Lucifer. Dan claims the registrar said the child would never succeed in life. No teacher would want to teach him, and no employer would want to hire him if he was given that name. The proud father continued, "It should have been a joyous day, and it was very hurtful." Well, that's your fault, dumbass. It's like, you know, I don't want any attention. Don't pay attention to me. Let's buy the Amityville Horror House. Not a good choice, right? Certain things you're going to do are going to bring about speculation, raised eyebrows, and contentious remarks.
But, okay, so why don't we go with a little Tony Robbins logic here? Why don't we turn a negative into a positive? Why can't the kid just nickname himself Lucky?
Lucky Luciano?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, or like Lucky from General Hospital.
All right. Tim. Tim. I just want you to know that if I was sitting physically across from you,
yeah,
I would have slapped you right now. I just want to be absolutely clear about that. That I would have balled up my fist and throat punched you. The show, besides, everybody know the show stopped being a show after Robert Scorpio left. Anyway.
It did, but, you know, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, a little Lucky from General Hospital. He seemed to have a good life, didn't he?
No.
Okay.
Need I remind you, I think his father originally raped his mother.
Well, there's that.
But then it became the love affair of the lifetime. And their TV marriage, daytime marriage, got more TV viewers than anything ever at that time.
See, there's an upside.
See, I just revealed my hand there, Tim, that I know more about GH than I wanted people to know I know about GH. That's General Hospital. Anyway, showing their support to Dan and Mandy, another viewer wrote, "I don't understand all these atheists getting mad over the name Lucifer. To you and me, he doesn't exist. So who cares about a child with that name?" A third said they love the name, saying it was a great choice. Of course, they signed it Damien. So, but I have a son named Damien. Do you know how much crap I took for that?
I bet quite a bit. Yeah.
And especially because his middle name, my son's middle name is Six.
Ooh, see.
And everybody's like, "Why the hell would you name your kid Damien after the Omen?" You go, "Well, first of all, he's not. He's named after Damien, Batman's son. He isn't spelled the same. Damien in the Omen is Damien. See, Tim, mine is Ian.
Right.
Two totally different people.
Mm-hmm.
Two totally different names.
Can't see.
One is Damien. The other one's Damien, which is my son. Damien Six, and Six is his mother's last name, and she wanted to be part of his naming, so he's Damien Six Schrader. It was very close, yeah. If you recall, Tim. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the original name was going to be?
I don't at this particular moment, no. But
Darth Schrader. She was going to let me name him Darth, and I balked. What an idiot move that was. Man, I should have stuck with it. Now, that's a kid you don't want to screw with on the playground, right? Give me your lunch money. I swear, your mother will cry when she sees what I've done to you. Speaking of Dark Lords, Tim, yeah. The Osbournes are back on TV.
They are, yes.
Yeah. And Sharon Osbourne is talking about two out-of-body experiences. She's sharing some of her wild out-of-body experiences in a preview clip for Thursday's episode of The Talk at Home. Sharon, Ozzy, and their son Jack discuss their new paranormal show, The Osbournes Want to Believe. The 8-part Travel Channel series, which was filmed during quarantine in their home theater room, follows Jack as he attempts to convince his parents to believe in the paranormal activity. I've always kind of taken it with a piece of salt. I can't really say I've actually seen a ghost, said Ozzy, 71. Some of the stuff he showed me, I couldn't believe it. When co-host Carrie Ann Inaba asked Ozzy if he's a believer, he replies, skeptical but leaning towards it. As for who is the bigger skeptic, I think my parents are about even, says Jack, age 34. But then they'll be like, oh, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And then the more you talk to them, they're like, well, maybe I believe in something. Then when we're filming, my mom turns to me and says, well, I've actually had two out-of-body experiences. Jack adds, before Ozzy jokes, I had a lot more than two, but it was chemically induced. Sharon, age 67, then recalled the two times. I don't know why they feel it's important for us to know that Sharon's 67 and Jack is 34. Doesn't matter to me. Maybe it's just a set in people's mind. This, you know, Jack is still not 16 years old from the Osbourne series.
That could be, yeah.
Sharon, 67, then recalls the two times when she felt out of her body. The talk host says her experiences both happened when she was young. She remembers both moments vividly. I had one when I had pneumonia.
Yeah.
Dave, that's pneumonia. You're an idiot. For a guy who likes correct grammar and punctuation, the word is pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Your number one fan, March.
March.
And I also had a bad, really bad lung disease at the same time. And then I went out of body, she explains. The next time was years later. I was in the hospital having a blood transfusion. I was sick, and I can remember everything they did to bring me back, she continues. And I was hovering again out of my body, looking at the room with the doctors. The doctor said to me, I'll do anything. Just come back. Come back, she said. When I saw the doctor the next day, I said, you'll do anything. I want an ice cream. He was looking at me like, what? That's turning me into a believer, Carrie Ann says in reply. So, yeah, how do you have two out-of-body experiences and then maybe not believe that the soul survives outside the body?
The same way you could be fooled by a magic trick, yet be shown that the magic trick was just a trick of sleight of
magic.
Hand. Yeah.
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 You always got to rain on those parades, Tim. You just got to come along like a big old gloomy rain cloud and sprinkle your little sprinkle dust on it. And
sorry, I pissed on your leg there, buddy.
Send it packing. But, Tim, do you remember earlier this year, I made a pretty bold statement in my predictions that by summertime, there was going to be some pretty big announcements that was going to make UFO belief kind of solidified.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the direction you're going, but I actually heard something, was it last week, that was it the Department of Defense or one of the departments?
Oh, we're going to get to it. But first, Tim, let's talk about this. You want the definitive proof that UFOs exist?
Mm-hmm.
Post Malone has seen them.
Oh, God, that is not definitive proof.
Yeah. How about that? Stick that in your Department of Defense and smoke it. When it comes to UFOs, Post Malone, he's a believer. The rock star rapper sat down for a lengthy interview with Joe Rogan, Tim, your favorite.
Mm.
near the beginning of what ended up being a nearly four-hour conversation.
That was probably about nothing, but go ahead.
The topic of UFOs and extraterrestrials was broached. Rogan told Malone that while he'd like to believe in life on other planets, he's a bit dubious of the people who claim to have had close encounters. Malone, however, has seen UFOs, and more than once. I've seen one. I was probably 16. I was in upstate New York, he replies, near the 2020 mark in the episode. Let me precursor this. My aunt and uncle were very strict, as we had to go to bed at a very strict deadline, probably 10 p.m. I was looking out the window with my cousin, and it's just a light that just stays there and then just effing goes off. You can't explain it. It's a street light.
Yeah.
Post.
Yeah, it is. Street. That's why he's called Post Malone.
Oh, because he's dumb as one?
Yeah, he's dumb as a post and keeps looking at the streetlight. Yeah.
Malone then pointed to sightings he's experienced more recently in Utah, where he currently lives, and Southern California. I used to live in Tarzana. It looked kind of like, it sounds corny, but like a classic force field. It was like a dome in a circular shape, he said.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's weird, huh? It's called the underside of the streetlight, shaped like a dome, and
and I'm like, how did no one else see this? But I was there with like four other effing people and they saw it too. Hmm. Okay, dumb as a Post Malone. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But here is where the story starts getting weirder.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next story. Okay. Pentagon's secret defunct UFO hunting program may still exist. This is being announced on major news outlets, Tim. Mm-hmm. Major. Like Fox.
Well, the US that's not really major, but go ahead.
The U.S. government's search for unidentified flying objects, UFOs, is ongoing and part of a program called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force that operates under the U.S. Office of Naval Intelligence, according to recent Senate committee reports. Recent, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Senate committee reports. They're admitting this. The agency appears to have assumed responsibilities of another UFO hunting Pentagon group that was purportedly disbanded back in 2012. UAPTF's findings, Tim, could be made public within the next 6 months, the New York Times reported on July 23rd. While the results of UAPTF's investigations are classified, for at least now, a briefing delivered to Defense Department representatives in March by a former consultant for the UFO program mentioned retrievals from, Tim, this is a major article in the New York Times, also reported on Fox. Please pay attention to this next sentence. While the results of the UPTF's investigations are classified for now, at least, a briefing delivered to Defense Department representatives in March by a former consultant for the UFO program mentioned retrievals from off-world vehicles not made on this earth, the Times reported. Despite this claim, any evidence of alleged extra that word was hard.
That's very scientific of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Despite this claim, any evidence of alleged extraterrestrial technology. See, it's that extra, all that X's and T's and
right
stuff that just jumbled up my mouth. Extraterrestrial technology has yet to be produced, according to the Times. UFOs, also sometimes called unidentified aerial phenomena, are objects that can't be easily explained. The primary goal of military agencies investigating UFOs is not to find intelligent aliens, but to determine whether or not these mysterious objects pose a threat to national security. Pioneering programs such as the Air Force's Project Blue Book and the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, known as NICAP, have focused on UFO appearances in the U.S. from the 50s to the 80s, while the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP, formed in 2007 and allegedly ceased operations in 2012 when its budget was withdrawn. But the Pentagon search for UFOs didn't end in 2012. After all, representatives within the Department of Defense recently confirmed that UFO hunting still active, at least until 2017, and continues to this day under the UPTF, according to the Times. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee addressed the activities of UPTF in June in their Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021. This brought the shadowy UFO investigating agency into public view, The committee's bill seeks to regulate the tracking, organization, and accessibility of UFO-related information gathered by the task force. This would include the release of public report submitted in unclassified form within 180 days of the bill's enactment. The committee understands that the relevant intelligence may be sensitive. Nevertheless, the committee finds that the information sharing and coordination across the intelligence community has been inconsistent, committee members wrote into the bill. That's pretty big news, Tim.
Yeah, although the way it's worded there, they do word it that it's something from another planet, but they don't specify what exactly it is from another planet. No, they
said it was a craft, an aerial craft. That's no, pretty. That's
did
pretty.
They?
Yeah, that's what it said
did
in the article.
They?
I just read it. Rewind the tape. Go ahead, listen.
I can't rewind the tape. We're rolling.
I'm telling the listeners to rewind.
Oh.
Oh, that's still not enough for you, Tim. How about this? In yet another article, Senator Marco Rubio, Florida man extreme, Tim.
Oh God,
the supreme leader.
Of Florida
believes the truth is out there, and he wants to make it public. According to the lawmaker, there are unidentified objects flying over U.S. military bases that the government cannot explain. We don't know what it is, and it isn't ours, he told CBS Miami earlier this month. Rubio, chairman of the Select Committee on
Committee.
I made sure to hit every T and E in that word, Tim. The chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence is campaigning for unclassified release of findings, including a detailed analysis of intelligence and FBI data, as well as potential threats by unidentified aerial phenomena. That's right. In hopes that someone may be able to help ID these mysterious visitors. Contrary to claims that the Pentagon disbanded a once covert program to investigate UFOs, the New York Times revealed the ongoing effort is alive and well within the Office of Naval Intelligence. Officials remain mum on the program, which appeared in a July committee report. Another committee report there, Tim.
I see.
I want to hit every letter. It's used. Why not say it? That's my words.
Okay.
Outlining spending on the nation's intelligence agencies. A section on advanced aerial threats details efforts by a naval intelligence task force to collect what it deems unidentified aerial phenomena. Boom. The feds, however, appear less concerned with extraterrestrials and more worried about illegal aliens. The team specifically looks for links to adversarial foreign governments and any threats they may pose to the U.S. military assets and installations. So it's just, I don't know, it's interesting. The Pentagon, again, in April, released declassified footage of encounters with UFOs filmed by the U.S. Navy fighter jets in 2004, 14, and 2015. Theories and speculation abound. Explanations run the gamut from drones and software malfunctions to human error and alien spacecraft. The bottom line is there are things flying over the United States, military bases, and you don't know what they are. Because they're not yours, and they exhibit potentially technologies that you don't have at your own disposal, Rubio said. That, to me, is a national security risk and one that we should be looking into. Maybe there's a completely boring explanation for it, but we need to find out, Tim.
I agree with that.
Speaking of finding out, make sure you stay with us tomorrow. Terrifying tales and supernatural scales with – not scales, Tim. Let's, you know, maybe I should just, retire my tongue. We should get that new software where you just type in the words and it speaks for you. Have you heard that?
Yeah, Stephen Hawking had that, didn't he?
The new one is really good. There, you can't even tell that it's not a human speaking.
Oh.
Have you seen that? It's AI to the 10th degree.
No, I haven't seen that.
Dave, it's nth degree. It's nth, not 10th. You mealy-mouthed freak. Please stop reading. Let's try this again, Tim.
Okay.
Tomorrow, we're back with terrifying tales and supernatural scares. Our guest, Steve Stockton, joins us from his early years. Steve Stockton has had what he calls strange and oftentimes frightening experiences with the paranormal and the unexplained. These encounters led him to search for the answers, only to discover the truth isn't easy to find. We're going to talk with him tomorrow here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, guys. I'm Violet Benson. Welcome to another episode with me on Too Tired to Be Crazy. Transfers all of the saliva into my mouth. So I just have to keep swallowing, trying to swallow it as his tongue is just like doing its thing, like all the way down my throat. Mortified. Like, I wasn't scared anymore to admit what I need and to ask for what I need. And I just feel like it's like a whole new dating chapter for me, honestly. I typed in you, and instead of going to YouTube, it went to YouPorn.
Be sure to check out Too Tired to Be Crazy on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One.
I just downloaded it.
We're back. This is the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. Remember, if you're looking for cool paranormal books, true crime books, paranormal swag, and gift items, make sure to check out our shop. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the shop or store tab at the top of the page. It'll take you in. There's two things there. The first thing is a link that'll take you into our Amazon store where we've conveniently put a bunch of great things from clothing to accessories to board games, DVDs, and more on the strange and the supernatural. Then every book you hear featured on the show is also in that store. We've got a paranormal book section, a true crime Tuesday book session section, and then we've got the entire section with all of the strange paranormal anomalous gift items. So go check that out. And nothing added to your sale, just a very small percentage of every sale is kicked over to us. So make sure that you go make your purchases and bookmark that, because anytime you use that link to go in and make any purchases, whether it's from our list or anything else, a very small portion of that sale goes to aid me and my 2,000 children from around the world. Thank you very much. All right, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Go with a couple of weird animal stories. It's time now, Timmy, for animal stories. You ready for this?
Ready.
All right, little Timmy. I like that this article starts with a warning. Graphic content below. You ready?
Ready.
Reports of livestock being skinned with surgical precision and drained of blood, often associated with UFO sightings, have been a regular part of paranormal folklore for decades, but most of them come out of the American Midwest. This strange story of a calf killed by some unknown force or predator comes from the Gaddings Dam area in Todermorden in Yorkshire. Paranormal researcher Deborah Hatswell has sent images of extraordinary finds by Albert Tyus, who was out walking the area on July 4th. The corpse of the calf was found somewhat unusually in a field where sheep were grazing. This kill has all the classic signs of animal mutilation, Deborah told the Daily Star online. Notice the very precise, clean cuts, she added. There are no signs of attack or a chase of any kind. Deborah adds that the clean grass surrounding the calf with no blood makes it unlikely that this animal was killed by a dog or a cat. What kind of cat could kill a calf?
One that hasn't been fed for a while.
Oh. Maybe like a mountain lion, but they're making it sound like a dog or a domestic cat. It doesn't fit with the classic signs of any normal beast here in the UK. It's as almost, she says, that the animal has been dropped from above. Skeptics looking at the innumerable reports of animal mutilation, which go at least as far back as the 1600s, will often blame humans for the surgical wounds on the animals, which are too neat to have been caused by natural predators. But Debbie points out, in this case, there are no signs of vehicle or tractor tracks in the area, which makes it unlikely that the animal was killed elsewhere and dumped. She adds that the sheep also had like a perfectly cut sphere into its side with no blood around the wound. The cut was tennis ball sized shape, and it looked like when you use one of those melon ballers. It's very strange, as if the flesh had just been scooped out. The owner of the calf has yet to be traced. Another fact that Deborah says is unusual, because deaths of livestock should always be reported to the British Cattle Movement Service. Researchers also found a dead white chicken in the same area, which also defied easy explanation. Deborah says the area is steeped in paranormal lore, citing the case of Zygmunt Adamski, a 56-year-old miner who went missing from his home in Tingley near Wakefield in June of 1980. Adamski's body was discovered 5 days later, 20 miles from his home at a coal yard in Todmorden. James Turnbull, the coroner who dealt with Zygmunt's body, described the case as the biggest mystery of his career. The question of where he was before he died and what led to his death just could not be answered, he said. That's some weird stuff, Tim.
Yeah, it is.
But I think I know what took out the calf, Tim.
What's that?
Thousands of aggressive, sex-crazed monkeys that are forming rival gangs. They're taking over buildings and forcing humans to take cover, Tim. Because the rise of the planet of the monkeys is upon us, Tim.
So we're all going to get effed to death? Is that the deal?
Right. It's an apocalypse, Tim.
That's the best kind.
Monkey-geddon. Residents of the province of the Laburi in Thailand, located northeast of Bangkok, are being terrorized by thousands of sex-crazed monkeys taken over portions of their city.
Of course it happened in Bangkok. Where else would it happen?
One night in Bangkok makes a hard man tumble. Rival monkey gangs, angry at the lack of food available with tourism almost non-existent in the wake of a global pandemic, have forced local residents to create human no-go zones. I have a no-go zone. Have my whole life. That's a no-go zone.
Yep. No-go, monkey. No-go.
And they've had to barricade themselves in their own homes. Approximately 6,000 macaques have taken over buildings such as an abandoned cinema and a closed shop, and in some cases, residents' actual homes, while getting into rival gang fights on the street.
God.
Colors, colors, colors.
Rival monkey sex gangs on the next current affair.
That's right. They're so used to having tourists feed them, and the city provides no space for them to fend for themselves, said government vet Sepakaran Kayachwat.
Pardon me? What?
Sepakaran Kayachwat.
Easy for you to say.
I tried. That's what he reports to the Daily Star. With these tourists gone, they become more aggressive, fighting humans for food to survive. They're invading buildings and forcing locals to flee their homes. This is just a month after an alcoholic monkey went on a rampage in search of booze that left one person dead and 250 injured, Tim.
Oh.
Tell me again how the monkey uprising is not a real thing. That's what I thought.
Not a real
thing. Jesus. Oh, God. Listen to this name.
Okay.
Local resident Kuljira, not to be confused with Gojira. Local resident Kuljira Taichiwatanawananwana.
You want to want to what?
TAECHAWATTANAWANNA. Kuljira Taichiwatanawananwana told The Guardian, while pointing to protective netting overhead, "We live in the cage now. The monkeys live outside. Their excrement is everywhere. The smell is unbearable, especially when it rains."
Oh, that's no way to talk about a monkey.
One gang of monkeys took over an abandoned theater and are using the projection room to lay all of their fallen gang members to rest, like some sort of mini monkey morgue. And if any humans try to enter the building, they are immediately attacked. Nearby, a shop owner reported regularly stealing spray paint cans from his store to tag their gang's turf, one has to assume. Oh, my God. In an effort to placate the hangry monkeys, backfired when locals tried to give them junk food and snacks. All that accomplished was giving the monkeys even more energy, which they have used to have sex and wreak more havoc on the town. The more they eat, the more energy they have, so they breed more, said a manager of one of the area's shrines. Another resident described a scene where one monkey that found a banana caused an all-out monkey street riot, Tim. That should be the band name for us next. All Out Monkey Street Riot.
Twinkie make choo-choo horny.
They look more like wild dogs than monkeys. They went crazy for the single piece of food. I've never seen them this aggressive, said a witness to the fight. The current plan is to try to lure the monkeys into cages with fruit, give the males vasectomies, shave them, tattoo them.
What?
What? What kind of weird metro shit is this? They're gonna vasectomize them, shave them, tattoo them, and then track them.
Of course they are.
You know, a typical Saturday night for a gang full of monkeys, Tim.
I believe we did a lot of this shit in college.
That's crazy.
Mm.
Insane stuff. That is, I'm not kidding. That is absolutely bonkers.
Let me get this straight. If they manage to catch them when they're not on a binge of junk food and sex, they're going to tattoo them and shave them.
Yes.
This is college all over again.
Yeah. It is. What? This is so weird. So I got a quick little message here.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave. Half hour ago, I took a random photo of the coast of South Wales, UK, testing my zoom on my camera, as you do. And I looked at the photo, and I've captured what seems to be an UFO. With my eyes, I couldn't see it, but the camera picked it up. The object seems very large, as it was at least 12 miles away above the mountains. I went to take a second shot, and the object was gone.
Hmm.
And he sends me the picture. It is interesting. It's hard for me to tell. He circled it. It could be like one of those low-lying clouds that you just wouldn't see, but the camera might.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, Marcus. Marcus Andrew Watts sent me that picture in the story. Interesting stuff, though. Thanks for sharing that with me, buddy. I appreciate it. All right. Let's see what else we got here. He, Tim and Dave. He. That's how she starts it. Not hi, Tim. He. Tim and Dave.
He is Tim and Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Greetings from the Texas-Canada border. Oh, that explains it.
Well, hi.
Yeah. Longtime listener and fan. Greetings to Winnie, too. A story I will share today. See, I'm only picking on them, Tim, because they started with Tim.
Oh.
He, Tim, that is. They didn't even say hi to you. So I feel better about it, I guess. Just he, Tim.
Well, I love me some barbecue Canadian bacon. So my salutations go out to you.
The story I'll share today was told to me by a believed aunt, Aunt Edith. Edith grew up as a trailblazer. She was born in Europe and survived World War II and the Nazis, who pretty much destroyed the peace of mind and comfortable upper class lifestyle she had enjoyed and left her with an uncertain future. Not much could stop this woman, though. She studied aesthetics in Paris and emigrated to Canada in the 50s. One of the first things she did when women couldn't typically open a bank account without a husband or father's permission was establish credit. She asked the bank manager for a loan and each week paid it off, and he observed that she never spent a cent. He asked her what she was up to, and she said she was establishing credit. I digress, but this woman was brave and smart in a visceral sense. She also read the coffee grounds and regular playing cards for some entertaining times. She told me a story of buying a duplex in an affluent neighborhood that had a strong Jewish population. She remembers seeing a mug on the shelf at the side door entrance. She moved it out of the way to a different location. She would then go back and find it in its original place that she had first encountered it. That was a head scratcher. She loved her Oriental carpet runners and put them in a hallway. Sure enough, it would be found rolled up. Another head scratcher. But she was just a single lady, and she was the only one that could have moved it. She spoke to the family of the former owner and found out it was a man who had died and hated rugs, and that his cocoa mug that she had come across, that was where he always liked to put it. Never the one to be deterred and tough as nails, she knew that this real estate purchase would be a step in the right direction of financial security. She was determined to not be intimidated. Anyway, one day she encountered a white gray colored apparition of this stern looking gentleman looking right at her. His energy gave out a frigid air all around her. It felt like a wall of ice. She proceeded to tell him in no uncertain terms that this was now her home and he could go about what he was supposed to be doing. Wanting to help the soul and bring peace to herself, she decided to visit with the family and then the rabbi. What she learned was that he had not received a last meal, a custom in his faith. The rabbi provided her with instructions on what to do. So she prepared everything, including fine china and sterling silver cutlery. She lit a candle in the candle holder as instructed and left the flat. Upon her return, to her amazement, the candle was extinguished. The knife was driven into the dining room table. After the rabbi came and collected everything and took it with him to conduct whatever rituals he deemed appropriate, it would seem his spirit was satisfied and he departed the flat to never trouble her again. The moral is make sure that customs are respected and followed and never underestimate Auntie Edith. Love and good wishes, and that comes from Katerina.
Oh,
well, thank
cool.
you, Katerina, even though you made the mistake of mentioning Tim first. That's fine. Whatever.
Wow.
I'm over it. Doesn't even bother me that much anymore. I can move on past it. Won't even think about it. Won't be a part of my day. Won't take it beyond that moment. That's all I'm saying. It's not even in my head right now, Tim, so don't even think about it.
No, I'm not thinking about it.
No. Yeah, you shouldn't, because I'm not thinking about it. If I'm not thinking about it, why should you be thinking about it, Tim?
I'm not. I'm just thinking about putting another slab of delicious barbecued Canadian bacon on the Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Loftus Hall in County Wexford, Ireland, has been put on sale, Tim, for just $2.27 million.
Really?
But you should be warned, it's got kind of a dark past. There have been claims of ghost settings and spooky goings-on at Loftus Hall and Fethard-on-Sea. Fethard-on-Sea, County of Wexford, after the property became the setting for a terrifying mythical incident told to have taken place about 250 years ago. The imposing home, priced at $2.27 million, features impressive Gregorian architecture, stunning landscaped grounds, and 22 bedrooms. So that could almost fit all of your family, Tim.
Almost, yeah.
The manor became a tourist attraction in 2012, being used for ghost hunts and tours. It's also provided the backdrop for horror films and paranormal investigations. It's being sold by owners Aiden and Shane Quigley, but potential buyers have been warned of a spooky history that dates back to 1766, when it was known as Redmond Hall. The legend goes one night a mysterious guest called at the home, then occupied by Lord and Lady Tottenham and their daughter, Lady Anne. As a storm raged outside, the family invited the man into the shelter, and the story claims as they played a game to pass the time, Lady Anne bent down to retrieve a fallen playing card from under the table to discover their guest had cloven hooves, Tim, instead of feet. The daughter let out a blood-curdling scream, and the satanic visitor is said to have disappeared through a ceiling in a puff of flames and smoke. Lady Anne apparently went into a state of shock and madness before she was forcefully locked away in a tapestry room, dying not long afterwards. Following her death, the family and the servants in the manor claimed to have seen her spirit roaming the halls. "There's always a feeling that you're not alone in Loftus Hall," said Aiden. The once grand interior was now faded, but among the peeling wallpaper and decaying paneling, there are glimpses of its past splendor, with parquet floors, ornate fireplaces, and rolling views from its 97 windows. The site actually dates back to 1170, when a Norman knight, Raymond Le Gros, built a castle on the grounds before it was replaced by a hall after the Black Death rolled through. It was taken over by the Loftus family in the 1650s, and the mansion later went on to become a school for girls and a hotel before it was bought by brothers Aiden and Shane back in 2011. The former farmers have spent thousands restoring it for their $68 a night ghost tours. And many have said there are certain areas of the hall, its atmosphere and temperature, and the general feeling of unease. Many people have seen things that have left them wondering, Tim. So for just $2.7 million, Tim, you could own Loftus Hall.
That's it?
That's all, Tim. Scrape them pennies together, son.
We're in a coin shortage, Dave, so it's going to be tough.
All right. I found the place in the episode where I'm going to fit in a cool thing. I know Tim and I have been teasing you for a long time about a big change coming to Darkness Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Ink has dried. Papers have been signed. Things are changing. Stay tuned to the best in paranormal talk radio. We will update you about the shift, but I think you guys are going to like it. It's going to be exciting. Great opportunity. I hope you guys will go along for the ride with us. How about that, Tim?
That sounds good.
How soon? We're not quite sure. Everything's inked, papers dried, everything's going good, but we're just waiting for an official date. to share with you about something exciting that Tim and I are working on. So keep tuned in. You'll find out about it. I promise you this time, it is very soon because everything's done now.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. We're going to Bristol, Rhode Island. The Usher Farm in Bristol is now the center of a ghost story after pictures of what appears to be ghosts on the property circulated on social media. The Ushers have an old farmhouse on their property that hasn't been lived in over 40 years. Over time, the building has fallen into disrepair. The family ended up donating the farmhouse to the Bristol Fire Department to use for a controlled burn training exercise. During the burn, many pictures were taken and shared via the social media. One of the pictures is now pretty famous on Facebook, said Patrick Usher Jr., the owner of the farm. It's become a bit of a sensation, they say, Tim.
Hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. And yeah, I could see why. It's pretty weird. That is a pretty clear looking image of a boy. The pictures gained attention after Facebook users said that they thought they could see ghosts coming out of the flames. It looked like the image of a woman with an apron and a little child next to it, said Usher Jr. That's my great-grandmother Maggie, and my Uncle Paul died when he was 7. Patrick Usher Sr. was 11 years old when his little brother passed away. He believes it was his brother's spirit that they saw in that blaze. I really think it could be possible, said Usher Sr. Usher Jr. is taking the newfound attention in stride. When people come in now, I ask them if they want the haunted corn or the unhaunted corn, Usher Jr. said. He does say he thinks there's something in those pictures, though.
Hmm.
And speaking of pictures and ghosts, Tim, a ghost hunter's convinced he captured the spirit of a monk on a film at an Egerton hotel. That's right. Chris Power, 37, believes he caught the robed 8-foot figure on footage he filmed at the derelict Egerton House Hotel. He made the chilling discovery when he watched the footage back after investigating the site, which dates back to around 1860. The 200-year-old Victorian building was owned by a local businessman before it became a hotel. It closed down in 2014 and has laid boarded up and abandoned ever since. In spooky footage, Chris says a torch turned itself on and a faint voice can be heard saying, "Help me. Help me."
That is creepy.
And elsewhere in the building, his girlfriend Sharon Vickers captured a picture of what appeared to be a ghost-like arm coming through a door in the bar. Chris, who filmed the footage on Saturday night for his YouTube channel, Northwest Ghost Adventures, said the building is boarded up. There is no way any light could have come in through the windows. The torch itself came on and started flashing, and the radio started playing by itself. When I said, "If there are any spirits here, show yourself in the beacon of light," that's when it appeared. I didn't notice it at the time. It was only when I watched it back that I saw it on film. The spirit appears in front of the torch and it goes black, then disappears. Chris, who lives in Urmston, said he believes the spirit to be a ghost of a monk that has haunted him since childhood and stayed with him ever since. He added, "It's weird that it should show itself like that while I was investigating the building. I've been seeing the spirit since I was about 5. It would show itself to me and I'd be terrified. He's about 8 foot tall and faceless with a black robe. It's quite menacing." Chris, who takes part in the regular paranormal investigations, added, "It validates my belief that the afterlife exists. We don't just die and that's it. We are energy, and our energy lives on after the physical body dies. When we die physically, we are still alive in spirit." Chris said he has been gifted with a spiritual connection since childhood, and while it frightened the life out of him as a youngster, he now confronts spirits. He teams up with paranormal investigators and films his findings for his YouTube channel. He added, "It's a bit scary, I admit it, but if you show fear, it senses that and feeds off your fear. They get energy from fear, so I can't show any." Bum, bum, bum! How about that?
Decent theory, yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff, Tim.
But the minute you crap your pants, you're done.
Could be.
Yeah, yeah.
That very well could be. Well, that's it for this week, kids. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Tim,
yeah,
please take care of yourself. Feel better, my friend.
I will. I'm trying.
To our listeners around the world, send in some prayers, positive energy, good thoughts to Tim. There's some health issues kind of rattling him still, and he just could use an overall tune-up. If you could send him angel tune-ups, Bigfoot tune-ups, I don't care. Just as long as something supernaturally tunes him up and gets him back to feeling at full health, we'd appreciate it.
I don't know that I need Bigfoot tune-ups. That scares me, that deal. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We knew you were a racist when it comes to Bigfoot.
I'm not a racist when it comes to Bigfoot. I'm just saying that I think that he might throw me around a little bit, and I'm a little fragile.
What you need to do, Bigfoot, is avoid Tim's house at 314.
Dave. Bigfoot, if he can type, can send me an email.
Well, no, I'm telling him not to go to your house at 314.
No, you know, Bigfoot, is, if he's as supernatural as he says he is, he already knows where I live.
Right, but I'm just making sure it's clear to him not to bother you at 314.
Yeah, but Dave, just send him an email. I'm sure
I don't have Bigfoot's email, Tim.
Oh, well, I'm sure
I've got him on speed dial. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, what are you calling me for, Schrader? I'm in the midst of making some sweet, sweet love to horny monkeys.
Well, Bigfoot, I was just letting you know, Tim apparently has a problem with your race.
No.
And he wants nothing to do with your healing energies, love, or attention.
Race thing. I don't want him to mistake me for a monkey. I'm very hairy.
Yeah. Don't flatter yourself, Dennis.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I may be horny, but I ain't that horny, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Wow.
Have a good day, boys. Got some monkeys to tend to.
All right.
I brought a banana. We're going to see what happens next.
All right, folks. That's it. Deal. Take care. Be safe. We'll see you again next week here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.